Tappers, what's going on? It is Charlie. It is the Daily Tap. It is Monday, January 7th, potentially the worst week of the year. We have a first full week in a long, long time for all of us where I think we were all just expecting shit's going to hit the fan. Nothing's going to work right. Shit's not acting well. But yeah, it's gonna be a rough one. But we're here to start it out. We're gonna talk about the Bucks. Look back at the Raptors game. Also ahead to this week, we will talk about the wild card weekend, mostly about the Bears, why they missed a golden opportunity, and then we'll chat a little bit about the national championship. Probably weave in a little bit of the Trevor Lawrence, Graham Mertz angle, as that's what I think we could bring a little local flavor to some national topics. So that is all there, a little more national than usual, but it's that time of the year where we got to talk about a few more things. So obviously good shit in the college basketball world. Marquette and Wisconsin both kind of get themselves right after a conference loss. Good to see for both programs. All right, let's waste no more time. So the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Toronto Raptors 123-116 on Saturday night. Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam both had 30 points. Serge Ibaka with 25. Fred VanVleet with 21. And that was pretty much the offense for the Raptors. The Bucks had an early lead in that game. They led by 9 points early on in the first second half. I mean, they looked like they were heading into the locker room with about a 9-8 point lead, and then the Raptors came all the way back to only be down one. Then they kept that run going. They beat the Bucks by 10 in the third quarter, and the Bucks really could not recover from there, and it was curtains the rest of the way. You could argue there was some shoddy officiating, but really what it came down to is Giannis was the only guy. They shut off everybody else. They let Giannis have his day. He went off 43 points, 18 rebounds, but everybody else was shut down. Sterling Brown. I don't know why I went to Sterling Brown. Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, and others just did not really have that great of a game. None of them really were that productive. Malcolm Brogdon kind of disappeared in the second half. There was just nothing from the Bucks kind of second-tier guys what really made you think that this was going to be a winnable game for Milwaukee. They needed that second banana. That second banana just did not come. Unfortunately, as we've seen this in college, pro, doesn't matter, not one player usually can't win you a basketball game. You need to have a second person. I will say one person can if they're like on fire from three. You saw what James Harden's been doing for the Rockets. You could argue that Harden's been doing it all, but you kind of forget about like guys like Clint Capela, right? Who like Harden went off against the Warriors the other day and he had 44 points and people like forget that Clint Capela had 29 and 21 himself. Like, James Harden is not winning that game by himself if it isn't for Clint Capela. It's a team effort. So Giannis needed some help, and Giannis didn't get it. Part of that problem is Chris Middleton, who continues to struggle against Kawhi Leonard. It's no secret. Middleton cannot really guard Kawhi. He also can't handle his defense. I don't think there's anything you can do about the defensive side of things, and that's where you got to rely on a guy like Eric Bledsoe to step up or someone else on the Bucks roster, but those are two guys you look to as the second banana. Now, for defensive purposes, I'm curious as to why Bud didn't at least try to put Giannis on Kawhi. Maybe it's Bud being coy. Maybe Bud saying, like, look, I don't want to show him that look until at least the fourth game of the year, until I don't want them to have that look as a scoutable look for them for the playoffs if we do play them. I think he might be playing the long game. Call me crazy, but it is a little too weird, right, that we've now seen the Raptors and Bucks three times that Giannis, Kawhi didn't play game one. Game two, Giannis didn't really guard Kawhi. Game three, Giannis didn't really guard Kawhi. Maybe it is all sort of a tactical decision by Bud to sort of keep him off. And, you know, it's really frustrating to watch the Raptors because they have guys who always seem to find their stroke against Milwaukee, Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka notably. I don't think I've seen either of them miss against the Bucks. Both are just always red hot, always seem to get it going. They're tough. And I think you can make the argument that the Raptors are the scariest team in the East, and they are the ones that are going to get in the way. I mean, Toronto is definitely a roadblock, without question. They look like the most polished team. I mean, tonight, right? They came home back to back. Third place they've traveled to in like 5 days, 4 days. They played on Thursday night. So this is their third game in four nights. They have it against an Indiana team who's relatively fresh, and they blew the doors off the Pacers. They won 112-98. It really wasn't that close. They were red hot the entire game. I mean, the Pacers had won six straight games. I mean, the Pacers have been playing good basketball, and the Toronto Raptors dominated them. And so I think that is more than enough said. The Raptors now this whole weekend have beat the, you know, the number one and number three team in the East in a matter of games. And they did it handily tonight against the Indiana Pacers, actually taping this in the late night on Sunday. But that's big, man. And I don't see Philly or Boston doing that. Philly's okay, but I don't think they're deep enough, right, to be a worrisome opponent. I think the Bucks can handle their business against Philadelphia. Now, we haven't played Philly since Jimmy Butler's been there, but I'm not really that concerned. I think, you know, yeah, the Chris Middleton angle of a tough defender, the Middleton-Butler matchup, but I think Giannis can handle his own against Ben Simmons. I have no worries about that, and I think Giannis can either take Butler or Simmons without any problems. With Boston, I think Boston's too much of a wreck right now to really get a full understanding of where they are. I think the Celtics are a player or two away. I think the chemistry is kind of off on that team. I don't really buy the Celtics. I can't at this point. I would personally sell my Celtics shares. Indiana, I think, is good, but they're just kind of like Indiana. Like, I don't mean any disrespect, but, like, they aren't necessary. What about Indiana scares you besides Victor Oladipo? Nate McMillan's an okay coach. I mean, what is it? Is it Miles Turner? Is it Domantas Sabonis? Like, I think the Bucks have answers for those guys inside. So I definitely put Toronto as the scariest opponent. You know you're in a fight with Toronto. I don't think there was any of us expecting them to blow out the Raptors. They didn't, and they had a lead, and I think you could have extended it. You could have done more. I mean, Ersan Ilyasova was brutal in that game, and I think that also, too, should be a lesson for Bud. Thon's been really bad. I wouldn't say bad, but he's not been great. I would have at least stuck Thon in for a little while. Thon's done well against the Raptors for whatever reason. He plays all right. He handles his own against Ibaka. I think he relied a little too much on the veteran Ilyasova, especially just coming back from injury, a little fatigued. He had some brutal shots down the stretch in that first half that kind of changed the game a little bit. And I'm not blaming him because there's so many other things that could have went right, could have went wrong. It was just an unfortunate few minutes for the Big Ers. So tough to see, but Bucks will look to bounce back tonight. This week in Bucks, brought to you by Snowtap WI, we have the Utah Jazz tonight in the Fiserv Forum. Bucks look to bounce back. The Jazz kind of hot. They've won a couple games in a row. Good to see Jay Crowder at the Marquette game today. He was with pretty much all of his Jazz bros. We had Donovan Mitchell was there, Ricky Rubio. I think I saw Royce O'Neal. Grayson Allen was there. Amazing that Grayson Allen could show his face at a college game and not get booed. But he was there. And, you know, cool to see that. Jay Crowder also was wearing some, like, LT Lawrence Taylor-style earrings. Dude's the fucking man. Hung like a goddamn moose, per sources. Not my sources, but just sources that I've heard. He's like a Coke can, pretty much, if you want a verbal description. So big dicks are going to be a theme in this podcast, so get used to it. All right. So they play the Jazz. Jazz are hot of late, kind of. They beat Detroit and Cleveland. That's not really saying much. The Jazz have struggled on the road. They're about 500. They're trying to get back into that Western Conference playoff race, which is extremely tight. The Bucks have struggled against the Jazz in the past, but that was the Jason Kidd era Bucks, and this is now the Budenholzer Bucks. We'll see how they do. Jazz have struggled against spot-up shooters, and they've had some problems with that. So maybe a big Chris Middleton night against the Jazz. Then they head on a three-game road trip where it's a very gettable, you know, 2-1. And kind of if you win on Wednesday, it is Snowtap House Money presented by Potawatomi Big Go Casino in case you do lose one in the next two, which would be bad, would be considered bad losses maybe to the Bucks Twitter world. But you have the Houston Rockets. That'll be a much hyped game. The Freak versus the Beard. I mean, it's going to be all over the place. It's an ESPN game, so ESPN will hype it up big. It's kind of right in the middle of the playoffs. The college football championship will shine and wear off. You'll need something to talk about. Giannis and Harden's perfect. Who has the MVP frontrunner? It'll be interesting to see the takes on ESPN about that race. It should be a primetime game. Rockets lost to the Blazers on Saturday. I do not know if they have a game before they play the Bucks, but that was their first loss in the last seven. They've been doing a lot without Chris Paul. James Harden's been good. He's torched the Bucks in the past, but I do kind of like the matchup because we just talked about how you need that other scorer, right? And Capella's sort of been his second banana with Chris Paul out. I think Brook Lopez can do a fine job on Capella. I'm not really worried about Capella going off. I think that's a great matchup for Lopez, and I actually think the Bucks could have an advantage there against the Rockets. Then they head all the way up to Washington, D.C., where they face the Wizards on Friday night. Wizards have been a decent home team. Bucks can't take that for granted. If they beat the Rockets, where they have not won a lot in Houston, it's been a long drought. I can't remember how long, but I'm pretty sure it's few and far between for when they've last beat the Rockets at the Toyota Center. But you get a Washington team who's, I think this is the first matchup they've seen with Washington. No John Wall, obviously. You do have Bradley Beal sort of carrying the team. Harden-esque. They had a shocking win against Oklahoma City. They were a 10-point dog, and they blew out the Thunder tonight in a massive what-the-fuck game. And that, my good friend Mitch is like, that's why I don't bet on the NBA. He would tell you that right now if he was sitting across from me or next to me. But That to me is a game you gotta get, right? You gotta beat Washington. They're not very good. Then you have the Hawks on Sunday. We saw what happened with the Hawks last week. You don't just assume the game will be over when it started. It's Sunday 2:30 starts are always tough for NBA players, especially on the road, especially having a night off in Atlanta. Hey, you worry about the hangover Bucks showing up. Now, I don't worry about it as much as I do with Bud as I did with Kid, but still, they're a young team. They like to have fun. It would not shock me in the slightest if that game was like a barn burner with the Hawks. But then again, I thought last Friday would be a barn burner, and I saw it as a like look ahead spot. Didn't obviously happen that way. So it's a tough stretch for the Bucks here. They have a lot of games kind of in. They don't have consecutive days off till next Thursday and Friday. So they play a lot of basketball. So a lot of good times to get yourself familiar with the Bucks if you somehow are not, if you're living under a goddamn rock. But yes, I think the Bucks can do all right and just got to get it done. Take care of business against the Jazz tonight. They'd also try to avoid having consecutive losses, which has not happened this year. As Giannis says, it's like drinking generic Coke. As I've noted, he is not a Black Bear Cola fan. But really, what Black Bear soda would you drink? You wouldn't drink cola. You drink the blue raspberry or the red, or they had a root beer that was pretty gross. They had lime fruit punch. If you were a Black Bear soda drinker, hit me up. Let me know. So TapWI, Twitter, or Instagram. Great little brand. I do not think they're on. If they are, Black Bear, drop those bags. All right, moving on to the wild card weekend. So we're going to talk mostly about the Bears because, you know, we're a local podcast. So we'll talk about kind of the team who affects our local team. There really wasn't any Packer coaching chatter news. They interviewed a bunch of guys Saturday. They interviewed a bunch of guys Sunday. Adam Gase is now in the mix. He interviews for the job today. I really like Adam Gase. I think it would be a great fit. We'll talk more probably next week with Mitch about that. And then you also Todd Monken interviewed, who is the Tampa Bay coordinator, who is kind of like Todd's basically a Southern version of Mike McCarthy, right? Where he didn't really oversee a highly successful offense, or he did. I mean, they did well, but not a highly successful team by any means. Monken's kind of been an air raid genius. It would definitely be an interesting hire if they went that route. So curious that they've interviewed with Monken. We'll see if Eberflus, the guy for the Colts, the defensive coordinator, if he gets any looks, especially after what he did to the Texans and their victory. But yeah, the Bears, man, the collapse, the Cody Parkey miss, the doink doink game as it's being called, hits both parts. I couldn't believe it. I was in absolute amazement. I couldn't believe the Bears you know, what really hurt them, I'm sure it'll be talked about more as things get dissected over and over again, but Trubisky does not get that out route far enough out for Allen Robinson. So he goes down inbounds, and the clock keeps running. It takes him a while to spike it, and then that happens. If he hits Allen Robinson right at the corner, they at least have time for one or two more plays to kind of get this thing set up perfectly for Parkey. Instead, they had to clock it. Trubisky went for one in the end zone, which I was the right move. I think you 100% go there because I don't know how much time you would have had left. But then, like, yeah, that totally changes the landscape. Parkey gets it tipped. Fans are pissed, obviously, at him. I think the frustration of fans, like, I'm not defending anybody. You shouldn't call a guy out on Twitter. The rants are funny. If you want to rant about him, call him a cocksucker. I think that's funny because that's being a fan, man. It's how you feel, right? You can't just be like, oh, shucks, well, I feel bad for him. Like, you're going to be mad and put it on social media, fine, whatever. And also, too, because if you aren't familiar, I'm referring to Barstool Carl of the newly Barstool Chicago ranting. And some people, he took some heat for it. And it's like, it's kind of what Barstool wants you to do, man. That's not necessarily, like, against brand. That's kind of on fucking brand. So I have no problem just ranting Raven. I feel for my buddy Mike, who went down to the game, who's a Bears fan, who's about as humble as it gets. He did not text our group chat. I think all of us gave a condolence, like, we're sorry. Because it was a fucking awful loss. I mean, it was a awful, awful loss. I don't know how you recover from that. In a lot of ways, I think the Bears missed the golden opportunity because the Packers were down. The Vikings, they knocked out of the playoffs. I'm sure there's a lot of regret about we should have just let the Vikings win. We should have got them in here, and we should have just kicked their ass this week, and then we would be playing the Rams. But it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda game. I mean, Matt Nagy's a young coach. He's going to learn from experience, and, you know, that happens, right? So, but going back to the golden opportunity part, it's like, okay, so now the Packers get a new sheriff in town. They start cooking again. They have an easier schedule than what the Bears do. They get their record up to 12-4, you know, 11-5, and the Bears might be fighting for a wild card because they're playing a tougher conference. You know, they got to deal with New Orleans. They got to deal with Los Angeles. Everybody's playing the East this year. They have to Kansas City, Los Angeles, two Packers play as well. But still, it doesn't make it any easier for the Bears. And so that's a really tough schedule. And so all of a sudden now you might not be the Pied Piper of this division. And it just sort of ends in a flash. You haven't won a playoff game now for, it'll be 9 years. It was 8 years before the doink doink tonight. It's going to be 9 years next year. Then you start creeping into, like, cursed territory and just kind of House of Horrors. And, you know, Dan Katz, Big Cat on Barstool Sports, another Barstool mention, but he mentioned how, like, they should be having open tryouts for kickers. They continue to pass the buck on Cody Parkey, that he'd figure it out. And then NBC showed the graphic right before he went out to kick that he'd missed 10 field goals this year. He had missed 10. And he tied for second worst in the league, and he misses it because the last thing you had to do was trust your kicker in that situation. You had to get in the end zone. And Trubisky, I think, had some shortcomings there. I think it's a learning experience for the Bears, but to have two NFC East teams in the divisional round is shocking to me. The fact that we have the Cowboys and the Eagles is crazy. I think the Rams are all equally upset that they're playing the Cowboys, not because Dallas poses a bad matchup, but because it's going to be so filled with Cowboys fans. It is going to be 80-20, maybe 90-10 Cowboys fans for a fucking playoff game, which sucks for the Rams. It really does. Saints-Eagles, I don't think it'll be the same blowout. I think Vegas might want you to think that. I think the Eagles will keep it close. Hey, Big Dick Nick, man, there's something weird. I immediately regretted betting against Big Dick Nick. I saw, actually, I'll say two ways. I regretted it. I should have at least hedged maybe with, like, the money line and just took it on a fly to see if they win it and just would have made my money back. That, number one. Number two, I saw a baller-ass kid in a full Eagle costume after the Marquette game, and I just knew my bet was fucked. I immediately saw that kid and I was like, God damn it. I said it to Pat. I was like, you know what? I'm screwed here. This is not going to be good. And this kid just rocking an Eagle costume right in my face. So there you have it. I mean, I think it'll be a great next weekend. I'm looking forward to all four games. I mean, Chiefs Colts should be awesome. Rams Cowboys, Fox gets the Cowboys two straight Saturday nights. Sure, that will work out in their favor without question. All right, real quick on the national championship, we're a little over time-wise. I think, it's the fourth time overall that we get Alabama-Clemson. It's a rivalry within itself. It's in Santa Clara, California, probably the worst possible venue for an Alabama-Clemson game in the continental U.S. Like, I cannot think of a worse spot. Like, anywhere else would be great. Even if you were in, like, Denver, maybe, that would be still a little better than a place that really hasn't drawn high watermarks. The weather isn't good. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know why the college football playoff went here to go West Coast. Why wouldn't you just go to the Rose Bowl? Rose Bowl is one of the best venues in sports. Like, just go there. That makes too much goddamn sense. But anyways, I love this game. I think it's going to be a really good game. I do not, and I keep like asking myself, is my disbelief in Alabama because I just don't like the Tide that much, or it's because I'm just not convinced that they are this juggernaut that everyone wants to make them out to be? Trevor Lawrence, I think, is a great quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence has done away with the freshman jitters. There's going to be so many Badger fans pointing to Trevor Lawrence and saying, Graham Mertz can do that next year. Totally different players. But that's going to be a pinhead take that we're going to see out there because that's what happens with people. People just assume that all freshman quarterbacks are going to be Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he was better than Graham Mertz in high school, just so everyone knows that. Just wanted to put that out there. But I think that Alabama secondary isn't that good. I think they are beatable. I think Oklahoma definitely showed some things. They just can't get hit in the mouth early on. That's Alabama's game, man. They hit you in the mouth early and then they just chill the fuck out. They're like, I know Solid Verbal uses crock potting for Alabama, but in a way they're like a pork shoulder or something like that where you have to sear the sides, right, and get it all hot and get it rolling. They're like a pork shoulder in that way where you just throw it onto the hot pan, gets hot really quick, starts rolling, starts getting brown, and then you put it in the crock pot and let it chill. That's it for Alabama. Alabama tries to get off to these fast starts. Clemson cannot let that happen. I will say Travis Etienne is one of the more underrated players in this game. If you're looking for an X factor, if you're looking for a guy to maybe put a little long shot odds for MVP, it'd be Etienne because he's been one of the best running backs in the country. No one really talks about him. He is very, very good, and he's made Trevor Lawrence's job very easy. So with all this being said, I still like Alabama's experience a little bit more than I do Clemson's. I think Tua's really going to deal with that pass rush, but I think he can do away with it. I worried about this with Clemson, all year that who's the best team Clemson's faced? Is it Texas A&M, who is an SEC team in week two? Is that it? I don't know. The ACC has been trash all year, and how good really was Notre Dame? So I think that I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to pick it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama wins by two scores. I think it's going to be close. I have Alabama 34-31. I think it goes down to the wire. I actually think it's a backdoor cover situation for Clemson. They get a chance. Onside kick doesn't go their way. I think that's kind of what we're going to lean to versus just a back-and-forth battle between these two teams. But I really do think that Clemson has ways to expose Alabama, but at the end of the day, Jerry Jeudy, Tua Tagovailoa, tried to pronounce it, their decent running game, Damian Harris and others, they got it. They'll get it done. They're a machine, man. They just keep churning it, and they're one of the best dynasties we have. All right, that does it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Tapping the Keg on Thursday. Weekend watch list on Friday. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.